Clone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome to the Cyclone Coach's Corner, brought to you by Bud Light. Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Hy-Vee, the official tailgate headquarters of Cyclone football. Iowa Secretary of State and Iowa Voter Ready. Coach Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones encourages you to be a voter. VoterReady.iowa.gov. And by Rob Seco, an independent seed company, bringing you the product choices you deserve from the people you can trust. It's time for the Cyclone Coach's Corner. Here's the voice of the Cyclones, John Walters.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cyclone Coaches Corner. We've got a fun show for you tonight. Jack Whitfer is going to be our guest co-host, and then we're going to have Matt Campbell along, and a little bit later in the show, it will be Jamie Pollard. And a lot to talk about with each of them. Obviously, Iowa State in first place in the Big 12 Conference standings heading into Saturday's game with Kansas State. So football, a very hot topic. And then other sports very much in the news as well, including today the announcement that the NCAA basketball tournament is moving to one location. That's something we'll address with Jamie Pollard in the second part of the program tonight. So a lot to get to. We certainly encourage your questions or comments, and you can do it by reaching out via Twitter with hashtag CyCorner. But let's check in with Jack Whitfer, who's joining us from Ankeny. And Jack, good to have you with us tonight. It sure has been a fun reaction show this year with the Cyclones racking up the victories.
Yeah, this year has been really fun on the reaction show, and there were a couple of rough years many, many years ago, and we've earned it, and it's been really fun this year. And, you know, our fans, I will say this, through tough years and through great years, they're always there, they're always supportive, and it's always fun to talk to them after the game and a little bit of a therapy session or a little bit of a party, either we win or lose, so it's always fun.
Yeah, and unfortunately, not as many of them can be there in person this year, but you know they're still there, absolutely watching, listening, reacting, and so that fandom has gone nowhere. It's at an all-time high, if you ask me, and so it has been fun. It's been fun to listen to you guys interact with the fans and a big part of our Cyclone Radio Network. So we're going to bring Matt Campbell on board, and we'll do that right after these messages on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield IMG College.
Successful teams are always scouting and recruiting. Our Latham Corn team has the all-stars that put up the numbers to prove it. Latham 4937 VT Double Pro, a 99-day hybrid, is a high yielder with great defense and 8 first trial wins. Latham 5245 VT Double Pro is our MVP, an 11-time first trial winner, including top gross income in Northwest Iowa and tri-state regions in 2019. I'm John Latham. Let's talk recruiting at 877-GO-LATHAM or scoutlathamseeds.com for your winning team.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online Same Day Pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell. Joining my fellow coaches in the Iowa Secretary of State's office in encouraging you to register to vote, it's easy. You can go online anytime and register at voterready.iowa.gov. If you've moved since the last election, it's important to keep your voter registration up to date.
Coach Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones encourage you to be a voter. Voterready.iowa.gov.
At MidAmerican Energy, being obsessively, relentlessly at your service means delivering reliable, affordable energy to you. And it also means marking underground utility lines before you break ground to keep you safe. Trimming trees to keep them away from electric lines so power is there when you need it. And it means working safely and quickly to power your home and business, no matter what the weather. Obsessively, relentlessly at your service. That's MidAmerican Energy.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the plumbers and steam fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to UALocal33.org.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner, brought to you in part by Syngenta. Golden Harvest is relentless, delivering genetics, agronomy, and service, doing whatever it takes for our farmers 365 days a year. And we have Jack Whitfer on the line as our guest co-host tonight, and we are visiting to start off the program tonight with Matt Campbell. And Matt, third bye week of the season as you head into this kind of this third pod of games. Do you feel like this is good timing? How did you take advantage of the bye week here as you head into the home stretch?
Yeah, you know, I just think, John, with the setup of this season, you know, I just think the health and safety of our kids, it was really big. And the opportunity to, you know, number one, get our kids healthy, have the opportunity to recover, and, you know, on top of it, you know, have the opportunity to evaluate, you know, some of the fundamental pieces of the game of football where you miss a spring ball, you miss some of those summertime opportunities, and really hone back in on the fundamentals. And I think that was really big for us, and it was big for our kids. And, you know, we had a really good practice tonight, and it was really great to get back on the practice field and kind of see almost a rebirth again of the team, you know, coming back from last week, which was real positive.
Well, Coach, this is Jack Whitfer, and I always remember from my playing days that, you know, everyone thought it was a bye week, and everyone thought, oh, you just get to relax for a week and do nothing. But what I remember is those are some of the hardest practices we had, especially for some of the younger guys. And typically, you give the younger guys a chance to go out and get some more meaningful reps where it's not just scout team. Have you guys had any of that the last week, and anyone standing out of those young guys that we haven't really heard their name yet?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, you know, certainly an opportunity for those guys to continue to take competitive reps. And, you know, I think this year has created a unique opportunity that our twos and threes, the most competitive reps they actually get, are in practice. And, you know, I think it allowed them to almost play game-like reps last week for us at times. And, you know, keeping those guys sharp and keeping those guys ready. And, you know, I feel really confident that there was probably about 10 to 12 guys that you know, you're looking for. It's like, man, if this happens or that happens, or you lose this guy, especially in a year like this, are those guys going to be ready to step up? And, you know, I really felt like holistically, not even, you know, naming any names, just because I think there were so many young guys that really did a great job, that I thought our team got better last week. And, you know, in all reality, this time of year, with the uniqueness of the season, you know, it's kind of been our motto. You got to stay ready and you got to be ready. And I think our guys really did a great job, you know, really in its entirety of doing that last week, and especially the guys who got game-like competitive reps last week.
Matt, you often tell your guys not to watch the scoreboard, not to pay a lot of attention to that, but just to keep concentrating on the task at hand. And, you know, I think as fans, we sometimes watch the scoreboard. You know, I think we're guilty of that. I know I was watching the Baylor game. And then as I went back and watched the game again and again, I've watched a couple of times since. Boy, you played a lot of good snaps of football against Baylor. And, yes, there were a few mistakes that ended up in points for them. But, man, for about a 15-minute stretch of football in the second half, you played practically flawlessly, special teams, offense, defense, but really over the course of the entire game, I thought a lot more very positive snaps than negative snaps, certainly against Baylor.
Yeah, I think if you, you know, I think you and, you know, obviously Jack understand football, and, you know, no game's ever going to be the same, you know, unique things are going to happen that are going to go for you and against you. And the key is, how consistent can you play throughout those 60 minutes? And, you know, if you can play with great consistency and play with great attitude and effort, then you're going to have a chance to win a football game. And, you know, I think for me, maybe one of my favorite games that I've been a part of since I've been here in the Baylor game, you know, some fluky things occur early in the game, you know, you're talking inches off that, you know, give credit to the Baylor kids because they were able to make a couple plays. And, you know, we were, a protection off, a route off, a throw off. And, you know, and then they made some plays and, you know, you tip your hat to them. But I never felt a sense of panic. I never felt a sense of uneasiness on our sideline. You know, you just watch our kids keep playing. And I thought the character, the mentality of this team really revealed itself last week. And to be honest with you, I agree, John. I think one of the better games that I've seen us play all year. You know, you take away four or five snaps and, you know, you're talking about maybe the best team football that we've played in its entirety from the first quarter on. So I think there are a lot of big positives and you know, you keep scratching and clawing to take away some of the negatives. Negatives are going to happen, but, you know, I thought from a fundamental, a technical, and just an operational standpoint, one of our better games we've played since I've been here.
And obviously that game didn't start the way you wanted it to, going down 14-0 and Brock really having, you know, a rough start. And I'm curious about the leadership of both Brock and maybe other guys on the team. When you're down 14-0 and Brock's struggling, who stepped up? Did Brock rally the troops together? Or who else steps up to lead in that really tough moment, really?
Yeah, and, you know, I think, Jack, for us, it's been a holistic model this year. You know, that's not all on Brock's shoulders. I think the character of Brock, you know, and it's like anything, you know, he gets the blame for some of those interceptions. And when you go back and you look at it, really only probably one of them's his fault. You know, the one's a wrong route, you know, another one's poor protection. And, you know, it just kind of like, you know, it is what it is. But that's the name of the game at that spot, and that's why so few people can do what he did in terms of not losing it, not losing his cool. I think it's a great sign of his maturity in terms of, man, you just keep playing, and the way he played in the second half was about as elite as elite can get. And to do that when, you know, some of the things, the perception is, man, Brock struggled. Like, not really, you know, like, it was some of the things around him that struggled, and yet his maturity, his confidence had the ability to persevere through it and really play great when greatness was needed. And, you know, I think the leadership part, which you talked about, Jack, I think is really big is, you know, that's what I do love about this team. You know, there's 16 seniors that I think they really all kind of shouldered some of that, you know, and, you know, boy, in the biggest moments, who was it? Well, it's Landon Akers blocking a punt. It's Kane Nwangu again. You know, third time this year that I think he's truly stepped up and changed the pace of the game. You know, when you know, the advantage wasn't going our way. You know, it was, I thought the play of the offensive line at times was tremendous. It was Breece Hall. You know, so to me, our best players and our senior leadership, you know, when we needed it the most, they were able to rise to the occasion. And I think when we have played our best, those are things and those are traits of this football team that have been really enjoyable to watch.
Coach, I thought Isaiah Lee really jumped off the tape watching that game. Was that one of his better games?
You know, John, best game of his career. I texted him right afterwards, and I'm so proud of him because it's been a, feel like for Isaiah, it's been a long time coming, you know, and I think from my end of it, you know, the enjoyment of he waited his turn, he bided his time. You know, you talk about 2 years ago as a freshman when, you know, we've got some injuries raised down and it's he and Jamal against West Virginia and he kind of had his like coming out party. Well, you know, Ray comes back and Ray and Jamal are seniors last year and, you know, you don't get many snaps. And there was a sense of frustration that at one point, and yet, you know, you just say, hey, listen, man, learn from these guys, grow, and your time's coming. You got to take advantage of your opportunities when they come your way. And man, has he. He's been one of the most consistent players on our team all year, and really in a critical game and critical moments, he was tremendous. And, you know, I really think he's playing his best football, and obviously we'll need him to continue to play at that level down the stretch run, but we're really, really proud of him.
I'll stick to the defensive side of the ball here. And, you know, we've seen Mike Groves make a lot of really big plays in, I think, 3 years now as a starter. Talk about him specifically, but also that last drive and when the defense needed to step up when Baylor was driving.
Yeah, you know, I think Mike is he's just one of those guys that is he's just one of those really, really special players that come around once in a generation. You know, he's a throwback in terms of rugged, tough attitude and effort. But he's also one of those guys that, you know, he's got this, you know, unique athleticism. I mean, high school videotape, he's playing safety and tailback. And, you know, he's a guy that he's got such a knack for the ball. He's got the ability to have the confidence now as a junior in this program that's earned. And that confidence was earned, you know, by his work ethic and truly one of the hardest workers that I've been around. You know, I've talked a lot about what he did over quarantine. You know, you call Mike in the morning and it may be, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock and Mike's already training. And, you know, he's a guy that you didn't have to worry about what Mike Rose was doing or how he was doing it. You knew he was preparing in the dark for his opportunity when the lights came on, and he's shown it. I mean, really from game one to, you know, game seven, Mike Rose has been the same player, and that same player has been playing at a really elite level. And, you know, just really proud of him. I mean, you talk about you want your players to be your hardest workers and be the standard of excellence in your program, and Mike is fitting because that's who Mike Rose is. And just really appreciate Mike and really appreciate what he's doing for this team.
Been an awful lot of fun to watch him play. Cyclone fans, stop by Size Locker Room to gear up for game day. Size Locker Room is the official store of Iowa State Athletics. We're visiting with Matt Campbell, Jack Whitford, our guest co-host, and we'll come back with more with Matt in a moment on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Looking for a new truck or SUV? Hurry into your local Northland Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com where you'll save big on the full lineup of 2020 Ford models. Like the completely redesigned Escape and Explorer, the powerful Edge, the roomy Ford Expedition, or America's best-selling truck, Ford F-150. Buy now and get low financing on the Ford truck or SUV that's built for all of life's biggest adventures. Get to your local Northland Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com today. Best-selling truck claim based on 2019 CY sales.
Come and get it. Enlist E3 soybeans are hot, and Golden Harvest has yours. Get greater confidence, flexibility, and yield potential in your 2021 weed management system. We're relentless about your results, and that commitment never goes out of stock. Contact your Golden Harvest seed advisor today. Golden Harvest is a trademark of a Syngenta Group company. Enlist E3 soybean technology is jointly developed with Dow AgroSciences LLC and MS Technologies LLC. Enlist E3 is a trademark of Dow AgroSciences LLC.
While the Iowa Corn Cyhawks series is on hold for this season, Iowa's corn farmers want you to know that we will continue to stand behind this unique series and everything it stands for. Iowa Corn is looking forward to the future and ready for the day when our schools face each other on the field. Because here in Iowa, we grow corn. But the truth is, corn grows Iowa.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online same-day pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
At MidAmerican Energy, we harvest the wind to provide you with clean, affordable energy. But did you know our commitment to wind energy also creates jobs and generates millions in local revenue? That's money your community can use to fix roads, support first responders, and improve schools. MidAmerican Energy's commitment to renewable energy delivers positive results for our state. And it's one more way we're obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
As proud sponsors of Iowa State Cyclone football, your premier Chevy dealers know how important a great lineup truly is. In fact, they have a skilled team of their own with versatile SUVs like Equinox and dependable trucks like the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. With players like this, it's no wonder Chevy's the number one selling brand in Iowa. Visit moreiowansdrivechevy.com today to find a dealer near you. Based on IHS market calendar year to date, May 2020 new vehicle retail registrations in the state of Iowa.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner. Enter the Iowa Lottery's Winter Wonderland promotion for your chance at the biggest holiday prize pool ever. Cash prizes will be awarded soon. So enter today at ialottery.com or via the Lottery Plus app. Jack Whitford is our guest co-host tonight, and our guest is Matt Campbell. We're going to have Jamie Pollard along in a little bit, and we always encourage your questions via Twitter. And John Walling of the Walling family, a big part of the Cyclone family, says, how has not having recruits on campus and not being able to watch recruits affected recruiting this year?
Yeah, you know, I think the great thing for us is that, the opportunity to – you know, use the internet, evaluate, you know, the readiness of high school film. I think that still is alive and well and, you know, probably the most underrated value still today in recruiting. So I think that's allowed us to still study, understand, and, you know, find the best players that fit us in terms of an athletic standpoint. And then, you know, I really think, you know, the opportunity to create a meaningful relationship's almost probably gotten a little bit easier, you know, with what's occurred in terms of having the ability to FaceTime and what's been able to use, you know, some of these platforms that you can get on with a young man and his family and really spend quality time rather than trying to rush on the road, you know, getting, you know, where you can't even have an opportunity to sit down with a young person. I think maybe what we found is a new way to do better in recruiting and a new way to new model that hopefully we can forge forward in the future that I think is a real positive, not only for college coaches, but I think a lot for high school recruits and their families. So I think in a lot of ways we've adapted and we've grown, and I think it's almost made us better in recruiting in a lot of ways.
Coach, with the two-week period here after the Baylor game, how much do you focus on K-State coming up next week versus focusing on Iowa State and what you need to do to take the steps forward that you need to take as a football team? What's the balance there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a pretty easy balance for us, Jack, just because, you know, we're not a team that can look very much farther than, you know, the man in the mirror. And I think we've matured enough to understand that more than maybe any group and any team. And, you know, I think it's all part of our growth process as a program. And, you know, we've talked about process. We've talked about understanding. You know, we will be our best when we understand the ability to become the best version of ourselves. And, you know, I've seen this team really take to that and really be willing to grow to that. And that part excites me because that's really true. And, you know, especially this time of year, you know, can you keep getting better? Is there improvement? And that improvement isn't, you know, some new scheme or some new trick. It's really, can I fundamentally continue to perfect my craft? So in the heat of the moment, no matter who you're playing or what you're playing, but when it's you against the person lined up across from you, can you make that play? And I think that's where it's been really enjoyable with this group, to watch them really continue to grow and get better. And, you know, I think that's something that was really big even for us from week to week, from the start of the season to where we're at. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think you've seen our football team get better every game this year. And I don't know if I've seen that from an Iowa State team this deep in a season. So I think that's a huge positive and a trait that's going to be really important for us if we want to continue to grow and improve and become the best team that we've got the ability to become.
I think one of the really fun things about following your program, Coach, is watching a young player who gets his first opportunity on special teams and then starts taking advantage of that and makes more and more plays on special teams, then eventually gets more and more of those opportunities within the offense or the defense. And I'm visioning a guy like Darian Porter, because we're seeing him making more and more plays on special teams and really impacting winning for your football team. How's he coming along as a receiver?
Yeah, you know, Darian is one of those young guys that I think has earned a lot of trust from our coaching staff. And, you know, it started a year ago. I felt like he was one of the freshmen that had the mental capacity to stay the course through the entirety of the season. And I think that's really hard for an 18-year-old to do that in his first year of college football. I think that's why you see teams that play really young players struggle to, you know, really put together a really good season, because I think this is hard for young people. This is hard for 18-year-olds to come in and expect to play another month and a half or 2 months of football and then play and get better when maybe you're not getting all the playing time. And Darian was a guy a year ago that did a great job of that. And I think what it earned him was an opportunity to impact our team, you know, this fall, and you're seeing that. I mean, Darian's starting on almost every special team for us. You know, he has really gotten better and better and better. And I think what the natural progression is you're right, John. Now you have a great year on special teams, and you're starting on all four, and you saw Jake Hummel and Marcel Spears and Landon Akers, and you've seen so many of our good players that have grown that way. And I think Darian's right in the model of that. I think you'll only see that speed and him getting bigger and stronger and becoming a real factor in the wide receiver room for us as well. So he's really grown and continues to grow. And obviously, you know, we're really proud of Darian. He's a key piece of our success this fall.
So Breece Hall is in the middle of possibly an All-American type season, and certainly the best, if not one of the best, running backs in the Big 12 and really just putting up fantastic numbers and really leading this team. A lot of that has to do with who's in front of them, blocking for them. Talk a little bit about the progression of those guys over the last, you know, 3-4 years and how you feel about your offensive line and where they're at right now.
Yeah, you know, I think that group has grown really exponentially from the end of last season to where we are right now. I think I was really excited about going into this fall, because a lot of these guys have bided their time, have grown and developed in our program. This is like the first batch of our guys that, you know, really got to grow and develop. And, you know, I think one of the things that I knew they lacked a little bit in experience, but they made up for in attitude, effort, toughness, and want to. And to me, I think you've seen that. You know, you could easily say you lost our two most veteran and, you know, in a lot of ways from a year ago, maybe our best and most consistent offensive lineman, Trevor Downing, the first quarter of the first game. And then, you know, the next most reps was Joey Ramos, you know, and those two guys going down and really forcing the hand of two redshirt freshmen that have really stepped in and played really good football for us. And so, you know, I think that it's challenged our team. It's challenged our depth. And, you know, there's big challenges that await this group, because some of the better defensive lines and best defensive lines that we'll play starting this week are coming. But, man, they're a group that just continue to rise to the challenge. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to Colin Newell. You know, I think Colin has been the steadying ship. Derek Schweiger, those two guys have been mainstays in terms of the attitude, the effort, the how we approach what we do. And you know what? A lot of times attitude and effort and toughness on the offensive line can make up for, you know, experience. And I think this group's showing that. So I've been really proud of them. You know, they seem to get better and better every week. And this is a group that I think's got the mentality that I expect an offensive line to play with, and for that, I'm really proud of them.
We need to pause for 10 seconds to allow our stations to identify themselves. This is the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield, IMG College. We're visiting with Matt Campbell. We're going to have Jamie Pollard along a little bit later in the show. And we are joining you on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield IMG College. We're going to take one more break, wrap things up with Matt. Jack Whit for our guest co-host tonight. You're listening to the Cyclone Coaches Corner.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, working beside you.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Campbell. I know that it takes a solid team to create success on the field, and the same is true for your livestock farm. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers can work beside you to develop a winning strategy. So add Coalition to your lineup by calling 1-800-932-2436 or visit supportfarmers.com and get your team started today.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, your farm, your family. Our focus.
Ever feel like something's off? For farmers like you, it's all too common. That's why at Golden Harvest, we're always on. Bringing you the unique genetics, agronomic expertise, and tireless service that surpass conditions. Because no matter how things are today, they'll be different tomorrow. And we'll still be here doing whatever it takes for you. Because even on off days, we don't take days off. Visit goldenharvestseeds.com.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service. And they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner, just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies. And that's something you can always count on.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the Plumbers and Steam Fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to ualocal33.org.
Small businesses across Iowa are continuing to show up for you. They're adapting, they're donating, they're keeping their doors and their hearts open to assist their employees and serve their customers, just like they always have. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa's communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. With helpful advice, affordable loans, and essential financial services, banks across Iowa are showing small businesses the way to a stronger tomorrow. Learn more at iowabankers.com.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Back. Farm Credit Services of America and West Liberty Foods have partnered with Iowa State Athletics to sack hunger for the 2020 football season. Each quarterback sacked by the Cyclones this season yields another donation to the Iowa Food Bank Association. In reality, one in seven children suffer from hunger, but with help from Farm Credit Services and West Liberty Foods, each sack donates $1,000 and more than 300 pounds of food to help sack hunger in Iowa. Jack Whitford is our guest co-host tonight. We're visiting with Matt Campbell. And Matt, I know you'll get asked a lot in the next 3 weeks about your seniors, and I understand that. But, you know, one thing that I've heard John Haycock say many times, and I've heard you say it, I've heard Tom Manning say it, is that in order to have a great season, your seniors have to play the best football of their careers. And I think when you look at your senior class, that's exactly what these guys are doing. And it's a long list, Sean Foster and the Bailey brothers and Ennie. And there's so many guys that I could cite as examples of guys that are playing the best football of their careers, which is exactly what I know you hope for.
Potential as a football team, then the reality becomes that from the top down, you have to reach your full potential. And, you know, I think that's, we know it's really hard to become, especially in a Power 5 Division 1 football program, it's really hard to get to your senior year. And you have had to fight, scratch, and claw through tough times, good adversity, to get there. And you look at our group, and it's a group of young men that, man, they've gone through a lot. and they've had to sacrifice a lot to get to this point. And, you know, I think what I really appreciate is this group from really January when we came back here on has led and has steered the ship every single day. And, you know, they're reaping the benefit of not only leading, but leading themselves to become the best version of themselves so they have credibility amongst their teammates. And it's been really fun to watch. So I'm beyond proud of our senior class up until this point, what they've done, how they've carried themselves, and quite honestly, how they prepared themselves to be their best their senior year. And really, to a man, each and every one of them are doing it right now.
So, Coach, I was fortunate enough to play for the Cyclones when we were going through a transition from some really rough times to our first bowl appearance in 20 years, and then working towards trying to compete for conference championships. And in a lot of ways, you guys are in one of those eras too, just a whole nother step up where everything is on the table right now for the season. I'm just curious, as the head coach and the leader of the program, how much do you talk about what's at stake the next few weeks? Or do you just ignore that and focus on your team, this game? Or do you talk about what is at stake for the history of this program and for the success that you guys are going through?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really great question. And I think it's something that, again, you know, we've grown. And I think I've grown, you know, in terms of how do you handle this and expectation. And I think the best way to put it is and for us is we built this program to be process-driven and to be purpose-driven and to understand that we're outcome aware. We understand what the outcome is, and we understand, I think, what's at stake. And I think we always have here. I think at times we've put too much into the outcome, and the outcome has fogged, you know, the fundamentals and the purpose and the process to become the best version of us. And, you know, I think we all know the goal is to win, but the purpose is much deeper. I think the reason why, you know, the game exists in the first place is we built this program on bettering ourselves and bettering the young people in our program to become the best version themselves they can be. And so, you know, I think we've really clung and hung on just that. You know, we haven't steered from it. We haven't drifted from it. And, you know, I think that becomes hard because you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds. And, you know, at a place like Iowa State, Jack, you know this, they're, I think any time you start to climb that mountain, you know, it's the chatter. It's all the things that are out there that surround you rather than it can fog the journey. And so I think part of it for us that's been a huge positive is, you know, we've climbed, we've had successes, and we've had failures. And I think myself, our coaches, and our players, and I'm talking over even the last couple of years, we've had the opportunity to reflect, understand the positives and understand maybe why we haven't. And I think it's gotten us to a place where it all comes back to, man, we're purpose and process-driven program. And as long as we just hold near and dear to those things and let the outcome take care of itself and know that it comes down to us becoming the best version of ourselves from our coaches to our players, then you know what? Great things are going to happen. And I think that's really been our focus really from the start of the season, you know, to even where we are today. So, you know, I think that's, and then that becomes a challenge down the stretch run. You know, I think as games have meaning or more meaning or whatever, you know, everybody outside of here wants to put on them. We know that every game's big, and quite honestly, every game's been big since, you know, since game one. And you know, I think if we can just hold on to those fundamental values that have built this program, I think we'll be just fine. But that's really what we've talked about, and certainly what I've talked a lot about with our coaches and our players.
Matt, you've mentioned the impact that Dave Andrews has had on your program and how it was kind of a team collaborative effort between you and him from the minute he arrived here. And I'm just curious about the specifics of trying to prepare a football team for a long season and trying to make sure that your conditioning, your strength program is built toward being really good on week one, but also being really good and fit and prepared on week 12 or week 13 or whatever. How big of a challenge is that to try to find that balance and know that you're working them just the right amount to peak out when you need it the most?
Well, I think it's a huge challenge. And I think in a year like this, John, where you missed 3 months of every single day knowing where every single kid is, it's been even that much greater of a challenge. You know, I think that's why you look in the National Football League and the laundry list of injuries has just, you know, crippled the National Football League. And I think, you know, one of the things when this first occurred, the first thing Coach Andrews and myself sat down and said is, number one is you gotta be able to keep your good players on the field. Like, we're going to have to find a way that's going to allow our kids to be healthy and, you know, have the ability to keep them being able to play the sport of football. And we know this is a hard enough sport as it is. And so I think that the credit's got to go twofold. Number one, our kids did an incredible job for 3 months when none of us could be here. And some of our kids had weights, some of our kids didn't have weights, some of our kids just did manual work and running, and they all did it. They did, for the majority, they did the work. And I think number two, you know, Dave Andrews, you know, our coaching staff, you know, daily getting on the phone with our kids and from a mental standpoint and a physical standpoint, having a plan for them in those 3 months. I think to me, it's one of the most inspiring things that I've ever been a part of. And in watching, you know, all of us come together and help lead these young people through a really tough time. Then on top of it, once you got them back, okay, now evaluating where they are and almost having an individual plan for every kid to maximize, A, get them to the season, but then how are we going to get them through the season? So I think it's created a lot of change in how we do what we do. I think it's made me a better football coach and a head football coach of, man, how do I have awareness of tendon structure and physical health and all these things that I think sometimes when you just get into the monotony of it, maybe you take for granted. And Dave's certainly been an unbelievable sounding board and a beacon of leadership that's been great to have. And, you know, his staff of, you know, Freddie Walker came on board, and Freddie brings his element. Greg Kaczynski, who's been with us, has got an incredible knowledge set. And I think just having so many different minds and you know, guys that have different skill sets to be able to bring all that into a room and, you know, allow them to have great conversation and us to have great conversation on that very point. How do you get these guys to stay healthy, get on the field on Saturday, and then get them to peak performance through the entirety of a season? I think it's in a lot of ways, it's fascinating because none of it's normal, none of it's what we've ever done before, and really you had to do it from scratch. So, man, a lot of credit goes to those guys because without them, we would not even be anywhere near where we're at right now in terms of health, performance, and so it's been a really fun journey, and I think it's challenged all of us to be better and to grow. So, they've been exceptional, and it's been an incredible journey.
Well, I think we're about wrapping up with you. I don't have the official clock. John does, but
you got the final question, Jack.
Okay. Well, perfect. Let's look ahead to this Saturday then. You have Kansas State come to town, and I don't know that I've ever seen kind of this much parity, certainly not in the last 5, 6, 7 years, so much parity in the Big 12. And there's probably five teams that have a chance to go to that Big 12 title game. And finishing up with K-State at Texas and West Virginia is a tough stretch. But you have K-State coming to town. Talk a little bit about them and kind of any revenge factor from what was obviously a disappointing game down there in Manhattan. But talk a little bit about K-State and what we should expect this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think just the reality of it, Jack, is this is a program for 20-some years, you know, where – you know, you talk about what Bill Snyder built. you're facing 20 years of tradition and integrity, how to play the game the right way, attitude and effort ingrained. And obviously then, you know, you got Chris Kleiman who comes in, who's got that same winning pedigree. And, you know, he's continued that tradition, that fabric. And so, you know, I think anytime you play a Kansas State football team, you know, you're getting, A, you're going to get their best shot because they give everybody their best shot. And B, you know, you're getting a very veteran football team in a lot of ways. You know, you look at the defense and it's a lot of seniors and redshirt juniors and, you know, guys that have won and understand how to win and play the game the right way. And then, you know, you flip over on the offensive side and, you know, even though there's a little bit more youth, you still have some veterans on the offensive line and at fullback. And, you know, I think that that's the thing that you appreciate when you compete against Kansas State is you're going to have to be your best to win the game. Kansas State's not going to beat Kansas State, and you got to play your best to be able to beat them. And so, great challenge for us. I think I love playing in these competitive environments because it demands your best and it demands you to be at your best. And, you know, like you said, this time of year, if you want to become the best version of yourself, then you got to be at your best no matter what anyway. So this team demands it of you in every phase, offense, defense, and special teams.
Matt, thanks so much for taking time tonight. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Matt Campbell, our guest. We're going to have Jamie Pollard up next. Our show is brought to you by Iowa's Corn Farmers. You can do simple things to support Iowa farmers, like choosing E15 or unleaded 88 when fueling up at the pump, purchasing corn-fed meat at the grocery store, and filling up your water bottle with safe drinking water from the tap. As Iowans, we are truly stronger together. Go to iowacorn.org to learn more about how you can support Iowa's corn farmers. And back with Jamie Pollard after these messages on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield, IMG College.
While the Iowa Corn Cyhawks Series is on hold for this season, Iowa's corn farmers want you to know that we will continue to stand behind this unique series and everything it stands for. Iowa Corn is looking forward to the future and ready for the day when our schools face each other on the field. Because here in Iowa, we grow corn. But the truth is, corn grows Iowa.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online same day pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Did you know that as a Mid-American Energy customer, nearly half of your life is powered by the wind energy we provide? That means when you're at home fixing a snack, or at work sending emails, you're using wind energy. Investing in wind helps us keep your rates low. Renewable wind energy. It's clean, affordable, and powerful. And it's one more way Mid-American Energy is obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
Why choose between the technology you need and the seed company you prefer? With Rob Seco, you don't have to. Our independence lets us bring you the trait technology you need, like the Enlist E3 and the LibertyLink GT27 systems, AgriSure Duracade, AgriSure Viptera, AgriSure Artesian, and more. So you have the independence to plant what you want. The technology you need from the people you trust. Rob Seco. Visit RobSeco.com to find a representative near you.
Everyone knows the keys to victory are a winning strategy and execution. And when it comes to crop farming, the most proven strategy for success is to store now, profit later. And the most proven way to execute this plan is with Sukup Manufacturing. Drying and storing your grain in Sukup dryers and bins is the best way to take charge of your grain, maximize your profits, and control your destiny. And with early season discounts underway, now is the time to start planning for next harvest. Visit sukup.com to find your local Sukup dealer today and learn how we can help you store now, profit later.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, We're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Welcome back. While the Iowa Corn Cy-Hawk Series is on hold for the season, Iowa's corn farmers will continue to stand behind this unique series and everything it stands for, because here in Iowa, we grow corn. But the truth is, corn grows Iowa. Our thanks to Matt Campbell, who joined us. And now we have Jamie Pollard, Iowa State's Director of Athletics, Jack Whitford, our guest co-host tonight. And Jamie, welcome. Certainly big news today regarding the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Well, thanks, John. And Jack, good to have you on as a co-host tonight. You know, it was a long time in the making, and kind of hard to stay quiet for the last several weeks as we've worked our way through this, but a sign of the times. And, you know, it'll there's a lot on the line for the NCAA to have the basketball tournament, and so a lot went into the decision to make it a one-site event. And it'll be it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out over the next several months.
So, Jamie, it's good to be back on here. Last time I was guest host was, I think, week one, and it was just complete unknowns about what is going to happen with the season, about coronavirus, about, frankly, everything. And I'm assuming your job gotten a little easier since that day, but still a lot of difficulties out there. I'm curious, as we start moving towards our winter sports, are the conferences working better together than they did back, say, when they were making decisions on football? It seemed like everyone was kind of just going their own way back then. Were there lessons learned, and are the conferences working better together now?
Well, I don't know if I would say lessons learned. I mean, there's just a complete governance structure that's different for football than it is for basketball. And so and for all the sports, for that matter. So football is governed by the conferences. And so you have, you know, each of the commissioners and then the boards of each of those institutions that represent each of those conferences. And so, you know, there wasn't one single source of, you know, one place to go, where for the other sports, and we'll take basketball, for example, you know, that is a sport that's totally governed by the NCAA. So, you know, all of the conferences may be, you know, making decisions about how they're going to do things, but at the end of the day, we all have to fall in line with what the NCAA is doing. And, you know, so I don't know if I'd say lessons learned, because it was like apples and oranges. You know, I think there was a lot of maybe lessons learned by maybe the Pac-12 and the Big Ten by watching, you know, what happened with the other conferences. But even them, you know, they made the decisions at that time based on what they thought was right for them. And, you know, and then they backtracked on those for, you know, because facts changed. But certainly in basketball, it's more centralized, but it's governed by the NCAA. So it feels like, you know, we're handling it radically different, when in reality, it's just completely different governance structures.
Jamie, I want to go back for a moment to the fact that it's going to be a one-site NCAA men's basketball tournament. Obviously, you're a member of the selection committee. So when you take location out, does that make it easier or more difficult to seed the teams, in your opinion? Obviously, you'll find out as you go, but what do you think it'll be?
Well, I think this year the seeding of the teams is going to be very, very challenging. And just because there won't be crossover data or a lot of data points, because I don't envision there being a lot of non-conference games. So it'll be much harder to judge a Big Ten team against a Big 12 team or a Big 12 team against an SEC team. You know, you may have only one or two data points of, you know, KU played Kentucky and what was the outcome of that game. And then how did KU do against the rest of the Big 12, and how did Kentucky do against the rest of the SEC? That being said, John, I think because the tournament's going to be played in one location, and most likely will be played in a completely different cadence of games, meaning I don't think it'll be the opening weekend and then the next weekend and then the Final Four the following weekend. I see it more like an AAU tournament, that I think that coaches are going to have to be more focused on the distractions for their teams in just a whole different environment, than worrying about I'm playing the 3 seed and I should have been a 4 seed or something of that nature, because for the committee, you know, it'll probably be really hard or harder to do the seeding this year.
You talked a little bit about the non-conference games and maybe definitely fewer than the past. How fluid is the scheduling right now? I know in football is very fluid. Is there a little more stability in basketball, or is it still a lot of unknowns there?
I think in basketball, you know, I've described it as I'm going to guess the season will be like Swiss cheese. There's going to be a lot of holes in it because it's, you know, in basketball, you know, if one person gets COVID, you're probably shutting down the program because of contact tracing for 14 days. And 14-day shutdown in basketball could be, you know, four games, five games, which is, you know, could be a 20%, 25% of one season. So, you know, and you're already seeing it. I think right now there's maybe 14 or 15 Division I programs that are currently shut down in some form of a two-week shutdown. You know, and we haven't even played the first game. The first games are next weekend starting on the 25th. So I would be shocked if all of us don't have games that are canceled or postponed because of one or both teams not being able to play. So I think basketball season is going to be a lot more fluid than football.
Jimmy, I want to take you off topic in a different direction here and talk about the Olympics. What is the U.S. Olympic Committee think tank?
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, John. And, you know, that wasn't something that, you know, I necessarily was looking for. I got contacted about 2 weeks ago by the U.S. Olympic Committee to see if I'd be interested in being part of a subcommittee to help them explore how to save some of the sports that, you know, we're seeing being dropped around the country. Clemson dropping track, you know, Minnesota dropping track, Iowa dropping swimming, many places, you know, dropping wrestling, Fresno State and our own, you know, the expanded Big 12 dropping wrestling. And so they, you know, they reached out to several individuals to see if we would come aboard and work for the Olympic Committee to try to help chart some courses of different ways we may be able to approach things in the future to try to save some of these sports, because, you know, college sports at their core are the breeding ground for the United States Olympic Committee. You know, many of our Olympians, that's where they're training, because that, you know, we don't have opportunities for many of those athletes to be able to live and train, you know, because there's not professional sport opportunities for them. And so to see some of those sports because of COVID being in the crosshairs of being dropped, you know, is one, disappointing, but number two, going to have a long-term impact on our country's ability to compete at the Olympic level. And so it's something that, you know, I gladly wanted to do and try to help. And I look forward to, you know, playing a part in trying to figure out ways to protect some of these sports.
We're visiting with Jamie Pollard, and we need to sneak in a break here, but we're going to come back with more with Jamie in just a moment on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield IMG College.
As proud sponsors of Iowa State Cyclone football, your premier Chevy dealers know how important a great lineup truly is. In fact, they have a skilled team of their own with versatile SUVs like Equinox and dependable trucks like the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. With players like this, it's no wonder Chevy's the number one selling brand in Iowa. Visit moreiowansdrivechevy.com today to find a dealer near you. Based on IHS market calendar year to date, May 2020 new vehicle retail registrations in the state of Iowa.
The coalition to support Iowa's farmers, working beside you.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Campbell. I know that it takes a solid team to create success on the field, and the same is true for your livestock farm. The coalition to support Iowa's farmers can work beside you to develop a winning strategy. So add coalition to your lineup by calling 1-800-932-2436 or visit supportfarmers.com and get your team started today.
The coalition to support Iowa's farmers, your farm, your family. Our focus.
looking for a few good men and women who love to help things grow, like corn, soybeans, forage crops, and the farmers who plant them. I'm Shannon Latham. If you love to grow, you may want to become our next Latham Seed Sales Representative. Like the family farmers we serve, Latham is a family business. You get to bring new products to the field, as well as offer one of the largest, most diverse portfolios in the seed industry. Come grow with us. Call 1-877-GO-LATHAM.
Every day you use energy to power your life, to wake up, to stay connected.
Hi, this is John. Oh, hey.
To feed your loved ones.
Dinner!
You don't even have to think about it, because at MidAmerican Energy, we do. We work hard to bring you energy you can count on every day, because the most important thing we put our energy into is you. We're MidAmerican Energy, and we're obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service. And they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner, just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies. And that's something you can always count on.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online Same Day Pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome back. All season long, our friends at Pivot Bio are sponsoring First Downs for Farmers. With each Cyclone First Down, Pivot Bio donates $25 to future farmers in the Iowa State College of Agriculture. The Cyclones currently have 151 first downs. That brings the total donation for the season to $3,775. Thanks again to Pivot Bio for sponsoring First Downs for Farmers. Pivot Bio, the agricultural sciences company, not content to just get in the end zone. They're the ones moving the goalpost. Our guest is Jamie Pollard. Our thanks to Matt Campbell. He joined us earlier. Jack Whitford, our guest co-host tonight. And Jamie, you tweeted out some updated COVID numbers tonight. And once again, very encouraging from the perspective of Iowa State athletics.
Absolutely. You know, and I know what's, you know, going on in the state and, you know, in our local communities, and watch the governor's address tonight. And, you know, that's a challenge for all of us, and we do need to get our arms around it. But at the same time, there are silver linings, and the campus community actually just went from 15% to 12% in the last week, which is a good sign, and will go down even further here in this next week. But our student athletes remarkably continue to just be stellar, and less than 1% since June 15th. And in this past week, we had 470-some tests. We had one positive, including 270 tests over the weekend, and zero positive. So, you know, our student-athletes have been phenomenal. You know, we are, you know, we're not spiking the ball in the end zone, but when there's chaos happening all around us, I think the rest of us need to know that there's still some positivity out there, and our student-athletes are definitely showing how to do it. In a way that if you're deliberate and intentional, there is a pathway forward. It's not an absolute, but there is a pathway forward.
So I'm not going to ask you about this weekend and fans. I know it's been kind of fluid and people nervous about what's going to happen with the football team this weekend and fans. But what about this? What's the plan for the winter sports? Is it no fans? Maybe I should know this, but I just focus on football generally. But what's the focus or what's the plan for fans for these winter sports seasons?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I mean, the winter sports do pose a far greater risk because you're indoors. And, you know, we've had great success with our plan outdoors in the stadium. You know, there's been no known traces of any infections back to the games. You know, we were talking about it today, you know, back in September when we tried to have that first game, and it was just a sequence of really bad timing of everything happening at one time. And yet all these people come out of the woodwork and just blast us, you know. And then ironically, you didn't hear from one of those people over the last 6 weeks, when we played three home games and had crowds, and you know, positivity rates were all under 3%, 4% in Story County. So clearly football has not contributed to the increase. Yet now that the weather has gotten colder and the bars were reopened and the rates are up, now all these people show back up and want to complain about football. And I just find that fascinating. But, it, you know, the outdoor activity really hasn't been the challenge. Going indoors, Jack, yes, it is a challenge. The plan, you know, was to be less than 10% in Hilton, totally social distanced. You know, for each row, there were two blank rows following the row of people. And in each row of fans, there would be a set of two and a set of four. So there were a total of 900 tickets, which isn't many in Hilton, which seats, you know, 14,000 plus. Only 900 seats available for the public. A total of 1,300 seats for every game, but those other 400 were made up of workers and visiting team and players' parents, media. So a very small number. But, I think the indoor activity is probably going to be in limbo here in the near future until we can see, you know, these numbers come down, especially the hospitalization numbers, because those are pretty alarming statewide.
And Jamie, we can't let you duck out completely on what's going on with the Kansas State game. Do you have any updates on anything from a fan perspective for this weekend?
Well, you know, I haven't heard anything official from K-State. I know there were rumors circulating that they were down certain players. I do know in exchanging text messages with their athletics director, you know, I always reach out to them each week to make sure that they need anything for that weekend. And you know, Gene Taylor had no indication that, you know, there wasn't anything but they were coming this weekend. And he talked about who was coming and going to be in his suite for the game. So I fully anticipate that K-State's going to be here. You know, we have to get through another round of testing on Wednesday. But based on, you know, having zero yesterday, I feel pretty good about that. As far as fans for this weekend, you know, at this stage, you know, we're still planning to have fans, but that's something that, you know, we always reserve the right to go back and talk and modify or change. And, you know, given the governor's proclamation tonight, you know, I know that Dr. Winterstein and her leadership team and I will meet this rest of this week. You know, we met today and talked about it. We'll meet again tomorrow and continue just to watch what's going on. You know, the positive note that, you know, having the student athletes have such a great, you know, positivity rate, and that the student body rate went down from 15 to 12, you know, are good indications that maybe it's plateaued some and we're in a good spot in our, you know, in Story County.
So one thing that I've been a little bit surprised about this year is even with 15,000 fans in the crowd at football games, I think there's still been a fairly significant home field advantage for Iowa State. And I don't know if it's just some of the most loyal diehards are the ones out there, or everyone just knows they have to cheer a little louder. But I think that there's been a definite home field advantage. So that's been surprising, but really good to see. It's also nice to see for, you know, several years in a row now, we're talking about Big 12 championship potential for our football team. And here with three games left, you have K-State at Texas and West Virginia to finish the year. But all of that is on the table as far as going to the Big 12 championship game. I'm curious, some of these teams that have had to cancel games, how does that play into, are they going to be able to make those up, or how does that play into the deciding factor on who makes the Big 12 championship game?
Well, so the Big 12 held back, you know, in our case, you know, we played three-game pods, and there was a game off in between each of those pods. So fortunately for us, we didn't need to use the first 2 days off. We do have December 12th held as a day off. So in theory, if we couldn't play the K-State game, or we couldn't play the Texas game, or we couldn't play the West Virginia game, you know, we could slide that game back to the 12th. To my knowledge right now, the only game that is scheduled to play on the 12th in the Big 12 is the Baylor-Oklahoma State game. You know, that game will be played. We need it for television. I know there's some that have said, well, that game would only be played if it matters in the Big 12 standings. I believe that game will be played no matter what, because of just meeting our number of television obligations for financial reasons. So, you know, then we have a set of tiebreakers based on if teams don't play the same number of games. And, you know, it's too complicated probably for me to even recall it without having it right in front of me to say what it is. But it was well thought through and, you know, took into account situations where you could have a team that didn't play the same number of games as another team and an unbalanced schedule. So let's hope we don't have that case. We've been blessed at Iowa State that we've yet to have any athletic event canceled or postponed because of our team. Our volleyball team did lose their matches with Oklahoma because Oklahoma couldn't play. But I'm hopeful between K-State, Texas, and West Virginia, we can get to the finish line in football and not have to use the 12th and have a bye week prior to hopefully going to Dallas on the 19th to play in the Big 12 championship game. But the first part of your statement, though, Jack, is our fans have been awesome. It's amazing how loud a small number of people can be and how much impact they can have on the game. There's no question they made a big difference in the Oklahoma game, and there's no question they made a big difference in the second half of the Baylor game.
I would agree completely with that. And you said it, Jack. Maybe it's the most loyal of the loyal, and they're all loyal, but the loyal sons forever true are making their voices heard. We're visiting with Jamie Pollard. Jack Whitfer is our guest co-host tonight. We've got to sneak in one more break, and we'll come back with Jamie on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield IMG College.
This holiday, how we celebrate may change, but our traditions remain the same. Like playing the Iowa Lottery's Winter Wonderland promotion. 13 new games and the biggest Play It Again prize pool ever. More than $600,000. And one lucky VIP club member will win a cool quarter mil. So join us in the Winter Wonderland, because winning is one tradition that never changes. Visit IALottery.com for rules and complete details.
Providing food, feed, and fuel for the world is a tough job. Making a profit is even tougher. Sukup Manufacturing has a solution. Store now, profit later. Storing your grain in a Sukup bin is the best way to take charge of your grain, maximize your profits, and control your destiny. Sukup offers a full line of bins to fit your specific needs, and with over 80 patents, it's easy to see why Sukup is the world's fastest growing grain bin company. Visit sukup.com to find your local Sukup dealer today and learn how we can help you store now, profit later.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service. And they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner, just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies. And that's something you can always count on.
There's a lot to be said for independence. With independence comes choice, from what you plant to the processes you apply to maximize performance. With Rob Seco, you work with the fastest growing independent seed company and the latest genetics and traits available. So you never have to choose between the seed company you prefer and the technology you need. Exercise your independence with Rob Seco. Visit robseco.com to find a representative near you.
At MidAmerican Energy, being obsessively, relentlessly at your service means delivering reliable, affordable energy to you. And it also means marking underground utility lines before you break ground to keep you safe. Trimming trees to keep them away from electric lines so power is there when you need it. And it means working safely and quickly to power your home and business, no matter what the weather. Obsessively, relentlessly at your service. That's MidAmerican Energy.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, brought to you by Iowa's Corn Farmers of the Iowa Corn Growers Association and the Iowa Corn Promotion Board. Thank you for supporting local farmers. It's no secret it's been a tough year for everyone, but your support has not gone unnoticed. Every time you've chosen to fuel up with cleaner burning fuels like E15 or unleaded 88, you've made a difference for a corn farmer. It may seem like a small gesture, but it makes a difference to our state and shows we are stronger together. We have Jack Whitford as our guest co-host tonight and Jamie Pollard joining us, and our thanks to Matt Campbell who joined us earlier. Jamie, speaking of the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series, there's been some rumblings about what the Big Ten's going to do. Are they going to allow their teams to compete in non-conference games in winter and spring sports? I guess, what does all that mean from an Iowa State perspective?
Well, we've heard those rumblings too. Some of it has been confirmed from coach to coach. It sounds like other than men's and women's basketball, it sounds like the other winter sports, wrestling, swimming, spring sports, softball, tennis, golf, whatever, there won't be any competitions outside of the Big Ten, which would mean, you know, we wouldn't be competing with them. Gary Barton and I have spoken and continue to communicate and have dialogue about trying to figure out, you know, how to have the men's and women's basketball games. As you know, we're scheduled to go there in both in a little less than a month. And we're just trying to work through protocols of the difference between, you know, what the Big Ten medical team requires and what the Big 12 team requires. And, you know, Gary and I have had great talks about it and, you know, both agree that we've got to try to figure out how to play those games if we can. Hopefully we can come to common ground so that our men's and women's team can both travel over to Carver Hawkeye in December and play the Hawks.
Well, as the country was going through the coronavirus discussion and football was appeared to be canceled, there was a lot of, I think, people that stepped up to kind of bring football to us. And you certainly were one of the, I think, the most prominent voices and one of the most clear voices as far as what's at stake, what's it mean if we don't play, and just being honest with our fans. And I certainly appreciated that. And, you know, some people are afraid to talk about money and finances. You didn't appear to be afraid to talk about that last August. And I don't know what you can or are willing to divulge, but how has it all played out so far compared to kind of the hope or the best case scenario when football was allowed to be played? How has that impacted the finances?
Well, it's a great question, Jack. And, you know, I appreciate your comments. And, you know, we can act like it doesn't matter, but it does matter. I mean, the economy is a big part of this equation. And, you know, safety and health is really important. But, you know, there's also mental health, and there's a lot of hidden costs in COVID, too. And, you know, everybody's just trying to do what they think is right. From a financial standpoint for us, you know, back then, you know, you couldn't see the floor and you couldn't see the bottom, you know, and you didn't know because we didn't know, you know, back in July whether we were going to play any games. I know, and, you know, here we are sitting with, you know, we're three games from the finish line. And, you know, in July, I would have said, take that now, you know, and now we sit three games from the finish line. And I'm like, I want to get to the finish line. So how I've described it to some people is, you know, I feel like we got out of triage and we're in the recovery room, and, you know, we, absent, you know, having to go back into surgery, I feel good about our ability to start recovering. And what I mean by that is, you know, I've kind of seen the bottom. And as long as we can get to the finish line and with the football game, you know, those are big numbers. I mean, it's almost $4 million a game from television to play a football game. And so you miss a couple of those, and, you know, that's a big number to try to make up. So, you know, yes, it's by no means a rosy picture. We're still way short, but we're short in a way that can be managed over time. And, you know, that's weird to be saying, because short will probably still be in the $20 to $30 million range, right? But, you know, back in July, it could have been 50, 60, 70 million. And so the fact that we're getting in all these games, you know, has been really, really important. And it's kind of stabilized us. It's stabilized us to allow us to start thinking about, what's it going to look like on the other side when we can kind of come out of it? And I'll give you a great example is, you know, the pedestrian bridge, which is a project that's already fully funded. You know, we have two $5 million gifts we received. You know, we're teeing it up to go to the regions in February because that's a project that's already funded and would be like the first project to say, you know, we're starting to move forward here. And, you know, there's some other projects, Hilton and some other things that we probably need to have more data and be able to show the regions where we are financially before we could move forward on those. But I'm encouraged, you know, and I'm encouraged by what we're hearing about vaccines and the possibility that, you know, the spring may be a, you know, a better environment for all of us. So the financial piece has stabilized, although, you know, I wish we were, you know, back 9 months ago because we were in a great position financially, but, you know, you can't go back. So we got to just deal with what we're going forward with.
Well, I'm guessing, Jamie, that one thing that brightens your spirits every single day is as you approach the athletic facilities, you see that Sports Performance Center coming to fruition and really, really now starting to take shape. And, man, is it exciting to see just how much. It's always fun when you see a project when they start putting the nice touches on it and it really gets shinier and more fun to look at. And I haven't been in there yet, but just watching it from a distance, man, it's fun to see what's going on there.
Well, today was a really neat moment because when I came in this morning, 8 o'clock this morning, and the I-State logo was up on the glass. And so that clearly went up either late Friday night or over the weekend. It probably went on over the weekend, which was really neat to see because it was just like, wow, that really popped. And, you know, I've toured it. I toured it last Friday. You know, obviously still a lot of work to go, and we've gotten a little hit because there's some, you know, some of the construction crews are dealing with their own COVID shortages right now, but they've made great progress, you know, and that portion of the building is due to be open in February. So we're really looking forward to it because it'll be a great addition to, you know, what our student athletes have for all their support services.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking time tonight, Jamie. It's always fun to visit with you, and we learned a lot as always. Appreciate the time.
Well, and thanks again, Jack. We appreciate you coming on and doing this. I know you've got a lot of things you could be doing besides being on a radio show on a Monday night. Thank you.
I love it. I love
what,
it.
What are you saying about my life here, Jamie?
Well, you're paid to do this, Tom.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, volunteering to do it.
Oh, that's a good point. He'll get paid something. We'll give him a meal or something. Thanks, Jack. We do appreciate you. Jamie, thanks again. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Very good. All right, Jack and I will come back to wrap things up right after these messages on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield IMG College.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online Same Day Pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, brought to you in part by the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, helping farmers interpret rules and regulations, find sites for new barns, exceed environmental rules, and enhance neighbor relations, all at no charge. Visit supportfarmers.com to find out more. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, your farm, your family, their focus. Our thanks to Matt Campbell and Jamie Pollard. They joined us tonight on the show, and Jack Whitfer is our guest co-host. And Jack, I think what Matt said toward the end of his comments when you asked him about Kansas State, it was so telling about how you have to be your best to beat them, and you know that going in. As a former player, What was it like for you when you got ready for the teams that you knew were not going to screw up? You knew they were going to be fundamentally sound and that you were going to have to be at your best to beat them. How was that challenge compared to maybe some other weeks where you thought we don't have to be as perfect?
Yeah, I mean, it means the margin of error is so small. And, you know, I, for one, was hoping, you remember the Ron Prince era when Snyder left the first time and Kansas State kind of went down a couple notches, and then he came back and resurrected it. I was hoping that would happen again, but Coach Klieman has just continued that excellence there, and they're not what they were probably when I was in school, and they were in top five, top 10 in the country almost every year. But you're right. You have to show up and you have to play your best game because they're not going to make mistakes. And they've always been really sound on special teams and just do the little things needed to win. And I think, you know, it's a lot of what, you know, maybe Iowa State's trying to model after, just the consistency and getting the most out of every single one of your players, because Kansas State, like Iowa State, we're not chock full of four-star and five-star guys. You have three-star and four-star that, you know, you need to step up and play like they're five-star guys. And so that's why I think this game is always difficult. It's almost like looking in the mirror. And I think it's always difficult when you play a team that is very, very similar to you, trying to do the same things as you. And, you know, it's lineup and who's the toughest and who's going to win. And last year, I don't know if I'm sure you remember, I was fortunate enough to go down and do the sideline last year because I think after Bruns was gone, I can't remember which one, but cold, windy, I would say did not play well. I remember that bench just rolling across the field. It was so windy, the benches were rolling across the field in pregame, and it was just a miserable night, really. And Iowa State did not play well. So, to me, over the last 4 or 5 years of the Coach Campbell era, whenever that team, his team, has their back against the wall and fans start to grumble, you know, after Louisiana this year, it's like, I don't know. It seems like Coach always can rally his troops. And I know he likes to be coy about it, doesn't like to talk about it, but that game last year has to be motivation for someone like Brock Purdy, who did not play very well. Mm-hmm. He wants to come out and really put his best foot forward and get a win. And, you know, it just seems like these games are usually really good. You know, 2 years ago, I think it was two years ago at home,
yep,
when it took another Micros interception,
yep,
weird interception for a touchdown. Really a big comeback, and I think that was Bill Snyder's last game of his career, if I remember
right.
These are just good games, and this is just classic Iowa State, Kansas State, Big 12, you know, late fall football, and it's going to be really fun to watch, and it's going to be really fun to be there, and, I for one can't wait, and I hope you're back. Are you going to be back?
I'll be back. Hey, we got less than a minute, Jack, but I do want to ask you, from an offensive football player's perspective, when you play Kansas State, which just makes possessions last as long as they can, does it put pressure on an offense to feel like you've got to maximize your possessions because you might not get as many of them?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're playing someone like Texas Tech or the former Texas Tech, those wide open, you know you're going to get 10, 15 possessions. With Kansas State, you don't know when you're going to get the ball back, and you have to be on every time. And that does matter. And, like I said, the margin of error is very small against Kansas State.
Well, Jack, thanks for taking the time tonight. I appreciate you doing it. Always fun to visit with you.
Thank you.
All right. And if you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can always catch it on demand via our podcast, the Iowa State SciCast. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Our thanks to Matt Campbell and Jamie Pollard for joining us. Shelley back in Jefferson City. Dave Sproul here in Ames. And we hope you can join us again next week for the Cyclone Coaches Corner.
This has been the Cyclone Coach's Corner, brought to you by Bud Light. Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Iowa Secretary of State and Iowa Voter Ready. Coach Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones encourages you to be a voter. VoterReady.iowa.gov. And by Rob Seco, an independent seed company, bringing you the product choices you deserve from the people you can trust. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Cyclone Sports Network.